we already started wisdom part of a chapter in Bodhisattva, Way of Bodhisattva. And for this, it's generally we can say Buddhist philosophy. There's a, of course, each tradition has their own unique way to explain the reason and certain kind of a philosophical point and theories. In this particular text, it belongs to Madhyamika tradition. In Buddhism, there are major four schools of a philosophical tradition, philosophical schools. And this is one of the, Shantideva himself is following Nagarjuna's tradition. In a, generally it's on Theravadan tradition, or nowadays called its basic vehicle tradition, or the Mahayana tradition, we call the great vehicle of this two vehicles, two tradition, major traditions. In these two, also there is a small or in a Theravadan or basic vehicle tradition, there is also two philosophical schools. And Mahayana also the major two philosophical schools. So in total there's four philosophical teachings. And in each level, we can say it's how we define or to know what is this difference between those schools. It's about the understanding, holistic view or holistic understanding about the truth. In some schools, they are more focusing on their mind only. So we can say in emptiness or shunyata, part of the shunyata, how completely analyze, completely understanding that level of completionness is the perfection or completion is that differences. So as in, normally we can say in our world this phenomenon surrounding us, we felt this is a real something genuinely exists, a real phenomenon, then that function from the point of function. And the many things everybody agreed that there's a phenomenon everywhere, including ourselves. And then from, if you say this is an impermanence and also nature, their nature is empty, then everybody have a, not everybody, but the, each philosophical schools, they have a different understanding in that concept. What is nature of this phenomenon? Vivajika, Sutantika, and these two are the Theravadan, or not Theravadan, but basic vehicle, following basic vehicle. And then mind-only school and middle-way school too. These are following the Mahayana. These two are Mahayana traditions. This is called the Chitta Mantra and Madhyamika, these two Mahayana in Sanskrit words. So anyway, these four included all general Buddhist views or philosophies included in these four kind of major schools. So We can identify this text belong to the Madhyamika tradition, which is a highest kind of a level, profound or complete kind of view of emptiness, complete teachings of emptiness, that kind of these teachings belong to that level. Of course, there's definitely for each person, everyone has a different mental disposition and the capabilities and kind of habits that perceiving things and understand things in their own way. So in some certain sense, we cannot say this is higher than the others because it's which is suitable for each one. It is like a medicine. There's no higher or lower medicine. Only it's right for that person to cure their disease or their kind of can help their understanding. But another way to say, if one person capable to study all these four philosophical schools, and then you will see that that is a Buddha taught in first concerning view of Dharma, and the second and third, there's a purpose why he kind of taught in gradual step by step, and then fundamental to full kind of a picture of all teachings. So then you have a full confidence these four philosophical schools are necessary for complete kind of map of teachings. And then and then here generally we already received the concept before the last class. There is two truths, of relative truth and ultimate truth. Those words are very unique and also very profound. I think I'm not quite 100% sure, but generally these ultimate truth and the relative truth, two truths are not existed in academic or scientific level of a study. There are also, of course, there's a study of direct experience, and also through the math or laboratory studies, and the more hidden kind of a phenomenon will appear in a microscopes or other scientific facilities. With the help of the scientific facilities, they can understand the phenomena more closely. What is real or what is situation? It's like that. But in these Buddhist philosophy teachings, there are generally said this two truth, relative truth and the ultimate truth. So this already said, relative truth including all human activities and including our own literature or scientific kind of study, research, chemistry or physics, psychology, and I think all these kind of study of brain, these included, that also not rejected by Buddhism. As I said, it's a kind of a relative truth. There is a truthness. Of course, it's a truth also, relative truth also studied with the two major kind of approach. One is valid relative truth. One is invalid. So it's including all different field of the study or academic or these studies, you will have this, what is more closer to truth or what is reality from this point. So these functions are purpose for using these phenomena to serve sentient, serve human beings, or with these are not kind of rejected by Buddhism. So we are not saying we don't accept modern science and technology. It's said very earlier, these are including all these techniques in, because it's in Buddha's time, they already have some craft kind of a development, and also medicine, medicinal kind of studies also developed. Is a lot of story taught in Buddha's time. There were treatment also. Some people are very capable and famous for curing the disease, and also some are Buddha's own students. So there is another saying, this is because of the only Buddha can cure everything. Rest people are cannot do anything for those people. Or again, nothing against to use any medicine to treat people. So these are, if you treat well, that is a cure disease, then it's a also valid relative truth kind of part of those kind of field. And then some things which is kind of a not to, with the reason, against the reason, those things we're doing. That is saying, some people believe if you do a bad thing, then if you kill some animal, goat or chicken or other thing, animal, even a human being, then your negativity will go away. Or because other people, you kill someone, then his kind of energy will come to you, or this animal sacrifice or human sacrifice or anything like that. Those are considered as a kind of invalid or wrong way to see things, wrong way to explaining things, or even superstition are included in that part. So the two truth, or relative truth, is that way to, generally you can say false or the valid relative truth. And ultimate truth also, you can say truth already beyond the words and beyond the thoughts, these. But it's not incapable to anything where anywhere there is an access or approach closing to the jumping point or realizing, kind of a stepping onto the realization. There is a path, there is an explanation, and there is a kind of a teaching about ultimate truth too. So it's sometimes it's called the expressible, inexpressible expression, or something like that. It's the same. There is a path and a fruition. There's a words and a language kind of a communication, or you can say, there exists, maybe my English is not very good for explaining, but since wisdom can be indirectly pointed by words, you can say that. So these are also ultimate truth. There is a kind of a fruition, the path and the fruition level of understanding, or view, or kind of a describable way, indirectly pointing out something with clever mind for. So it, if you say ultimate is not describable or beyond all thoughts and words and the movement of this, but there is a kind of a mind to mind imprint lineage, and there's a symbolic teachings to pinpoint that kind of reality. So these are general kind of two truths. And as I said, relative and ultimate in many meanings. Ultimate means you have to kind of put that words in a complete and a clear way to make people understand these teachings. So Buddha, in the first turning view of Dharma, he taught Four Noble Truths and 12 Link or Dependent Origination, the 37 practice of branches of the Buddhist teachings. And the second returning view of time, he taught more clear about the first time, in the first Buddha taught more in our normal kind of perceiving things in a pure or remaining existence. And with their own identity. And this kind of a concept, this is also very famous. It's said everlasting, and with happy or enjoying those lives and materials, and with the identity of self-existence, and with the pureness of practice, this. So with the compact or in order to transform those teachings, he taught selflessness and life or samsara, ignorance is suffering. And then all phenomena are impermanent. And then it's a kind of a, because we touch to, what we touch to is actually we thought this is very important, and we kind of spending our time and all with those, we thought this is important for us. Actually, it's not that there is no kind of a pureness of that we, as we perceive as a very attractive or like food or any other things that we attach to. These are actually, we can say impure, or there is nothing pureness about it. This is the ground teachings. Of course, it's a higher and higher. It's very different teachings. And then third turn, and then as we said, the first is taught about those basic understanding to transform our attachment to worldly things, to transform our mind. In first step is to reduce harming. Second is to cultivate renunciation, and third is selflessness. These are in a first turning view of Dharma, to reasoning things, including how we exist and how things are big, kind of interrelated or kind of dependent on each other, and how things are changing nothing permanent. This, and then second turning wheel of Dharma, it's more about clearly pointing out the emptiness or appear things appear to us very real and very complex and pursuable, and also we kind of lost in the these relative things and phenomenon into those appearance with us of our five organs. The form, feelings, and perception, formation, and consciousness. These, and also, this is a form only, it's material, rest is mental kind of phenomena. And five organs of eye, ear, nose, tongue, and body sensations. These, each has their own objects, like a color and sound and texture or smell and the flavor or flavor, and also hot or cold, and many things like our body, we can receive it. So these are fundamentally, you can divide the consciousness into subtle or grosso, not subtle, but the six mind and five sensorial consciousness, with the help of six consciousness. These have a individual, very separate kind of functions. In this, we can not only stay in those understanding in this level, but furthermore, we can say, what is the nature of form? That's like a Heart Sutra always did taught about form is emptiness, emptiness is form, form is not other than emptiness. Emptiness is not other than form. So it seems like a relative and alternate. It's nothing one higher than other. If you are lost in the relative phenomena, of course, then it's ultimate teachings or ultimate the more important for ones that are lost in this phenomenon, because this like a key of ultimate wisdom can drag or lead or uplift your understanding, and you go beyond of a struggle of basic kind of trapped in their kind of understanding in a phenomenon. It's if you circle in some places, because of 160 degree, you go everywhere. Once you don't, how do you say? You don't have the view, overview, or bird's view to see what is kind of you're doing. You are making effort to cultivating, but your cultivating is in a limited kind of level. So ultimate teachings can transcendent teachings are most important teaching. So these are the second view of turning a view of Dharma. In that he said, if you one person who's seen ultimate teachings or view have the ultimate teachings, view of ultimate teachings, then you will go beyond of suffering. And with the ultimate view, you can see relative kind of limitation of a relative kind of a or fossil or invalid of a relative kind of phenomenon, because they are very real, but it's all lack of intrinsic nature. So, of course, relative and ultimate always it's a kind of without relative, you cannot talk about anything about ultimate. Ultimate is because of a relative things. So relative and these are interrelated or coexist with the concept. So also it's a appear and appearance of realness and actual lacking of intrinsic existence, nature, their appearance and their nature are union. So these phenomena can appear as much as they can, as they appear everything everywhere, but also same time they are illusion, like the appearance. So these are kind of middle way teachings of the middle way in the second turning view of Dharma. And also sometimes they use the water moon, and as we also already said, like a paper moon or water moon, and the real moon, it's comparatively kind of closer to the reality. Paper moon is more fossil, and the water moon is more closer, but still not kind of the actual reality. So then for compared to the water moon, then a paper moon is like invalid or not direct. So then compared to moon in the sky, a water moon also not in the complete kind of understanding about moon or completely seen as it is. Is so actually what we were saying is not only saying the moon or the different appearance, but it's saying appearance and emptiness, they are called two truth. Appearance is relative truth, and emptiness or the nature of the appearance is ultimate truth. These are teachings are existed in until in not only two second turning wheel of Dharma, also third turning wheel of Dharma, and Vajrayana teachings also talking about this. So, yes, from second turning wheel of Dharma, they are not talking about much about what is the nature of second turning wheel of not talking about the appearance itself, but it's talking about more about the nature of appearance. What is the nature of the phenomenon, these teachings? And third turning wheel of Dharma, it's not a, in first, we see appearance as a real. So second turning wheel is very important, pointing out the appearance is not a form two levels, object level, subject level. There is a gradual kind of understanding. There is nothing valid existence. In the Theravada tradition, then it's said in subtlety, there is a real existence. Otherwise, many people will reject many teachings in Mahayana teachings, because many people, if the direct experience perceptions through the body organs are very powerful, have their own kind of a definition and explanation and direct experience. So if you say things are lacking of an intrinsic existence, they thought that you are crazy. They exist, you can burn it, you can, you know, wash it, you can kind of divide them, we can use. But through the meditation and through deepening kind of analyzation and the logic, you can see there is an so-called no intrinsic existence, no real nature existence, existential nature. Well, these are understandable. Otherwise, it's a direct experience is very powerful. So for that, those people difficult to chew that shunyata or emptiness, then in Buddhism still have a power approach or fundament to the up to enlightenment of arhat. There is a systematic theory and the trainings you can achieve. Even you thought there are things are existed, but you only cultivate the mind itself. It's a no self kind of training. The mind means even physical body exists, but it doesn't matter. Your consciousness itself, you're working on the consciousness and then don't care about much about the external phenomena, the forms phenomena. Still, there is a path to reach enlightenment, or nirvana, you can say. And then, in the middle school, on the Mahayana schools, then they are talking only, not only about the subjective mind itself, but also objective kind of things are lacking of intrinsic existence. There are also major two, Chitta Mantra and Majjhimika, or mind only school, or middle way school. Chitta Mantra is mind only school. A mind only school is talking about the, they're also saying, phenomenon as a mirage or like a rainbow, but the mind, the perceiving the things and also have a concept and explaining things and contemplating the consciousness itself. There is a various level of consciousness. It's talking about five, gross level of consciousness. And then six, it's a moderator to the eight or even not good or bad or something, but it's hanging on the self-existent kind of consciousness in more subtle than the other six consciousness. It's there. It's sometimes it's called the included consciousness or something like that. And then on a more deeper level, the storage of consciousness, which is said that is passing through life after life kind of a consciousness imprint. So this is a mind-only school. And then Majjhimika school, of course, there are also branches of different schools. In major two schools, Prasangika school. Of course, these are in Sanskrit words. I don't think it's necessary to, if you are very serious, you can study it, but otherwise, they're both recognize things are not existed from subject to object. Prasangika is saying that both, there is nothing even in perceptual, the perceptual level or expressible level, there is a nothing exists, nothing kind of valid exists in these complete kind of a very complete saying shunyata, teaching the theory of shunyata. And the other theories in Majjhimika also have a different explanation, because due to now then if you say nothing exists, but how you define or how you cooperate or the giving an explanation of a clear, more understanding about the appearance. So that part is a little bit different. So we are, this is the second turning of view of Dharma. And third, it's more focusing on the appearance itself. because you're already passing through that grasping of the real things and then suffered, controlled, or lost in the phenomenon. That kind of level is already done. So you are completely understand emptiness and things lack of intrinsic existence, these words and meaning. And then third turning wheel is very important. How, what is the relation, appearance and emptiness? What is the, how does it say, fundamental, cultivation means of, meaning of cultivation, or what is achieving, or what is kind of happening through the enlightenment. So then, the, of course, generally we say, enlightenment is, to purify your mind, and to, changing, or not changing, maybe, distorted view and distorted, perceptions are clarifying or purifying that, so it's a, or invalid, cognitions, and, destructive emotions are the kind of changing, and you are purifying these. So that level differences, there are 10 Bodhisattva levels according, the teachings. And then, there are also first the ground, and then until 7 ground. 8th ground is major big kind of changes. First and second, it's quite a kind of a changes. And then 7 to 8 is very big change. And the 10 to 11, of course 11 is Buddhahood. In that level, it's a very important. And second, third, the turning view of Dharma is more talking about this, it's included the emptiness and the appearance explanation, those two, what is the relation or these, how you cultivate with those understanding. So Buddha taught many things in the sutra, and you can, as you can see, some words are said, you cannot just capture that words, then you have to get that purpose, meaning. If you only rely on the scripture itself, that is some tradition following that scripture kind of a valid validation of a scripture teachings. In Mahayana teachings, they often said that you have to, there's a criteria to understanding not only these scriptures cannot, also help to your understanding through three levels. One is from sensorial organ. You can have a direct, first-hand kind of experiences. You have to explain what is this first-hand experience through organ kind of interact with the phenomenon. And second, more hidden kind of phenomena, you have to, through using logic and analyzing things through many necessary means, facility or meditation, many ways to mind is very capable, and treasure like mind, there's a lot of capabilities we don't really fully analyze or apprehend or knows that mind itself. So if you continue in progressing in that level, so logic and the theory, contemplation in the analyzation or valid cognition is very important. So for that, the Buddhism developed a epistemology and other kind of debating traditions. For also that said, Buddha's words have to be kind of understandable for human and logic. And of course, there is a purpose to teach in relative teaching or actual meaning and some relative teachings. And then also said that for those people, there is a Buddhist kind of philosophical teachings and theories. Some people seem, if you read the sutra in different levels, different varieties of sutra, you may say, oh, this Buddha said this, and then the other the sutra said this, but these two are against each other. And then because this is a lacking of orderation, you have to be kind of a study through the step-by-step gradual teachings. You can understand which sutra and the shastras put in which level. And then if you find the order, as we said, four school of a philosophical tradition, there is order from Sotantika, and I think I will say in Chinese words, it's Yu Bu Jin Bu Wei Shi Dong Guan. It's a Yu Bu, or I think it's a Sotantika. I think Sotantika, these are more about closer to scientific understanding. They're looking for particles and why is it valid existent things, or these like that. If you objective inwardly, it's different with the scientific, but with the treat, how they treat it with external phenomenon forms, it's like that. Then it's a second and third and the fourth, as we said, Madhyamika is for, we're not talking about Vajrayan teachings, but the sutra traditions. These four philosophical traditions is very important, and there is a gradual understanding. Then you can order all Buddha's sutras that is talking about the Madhyamika teachings, or more about suitable for third turning wheel of Dharma. It's like talking about Buddha nature or awakened nature or these. And then what is the if you understand these philosophical schools, then after you read some sutras, you will easily put this is a this field of these teachings. Then you will see schools, there's a first grade, second grade, third, then you won't mix it up and then confuse it. and also, the purpose of these different teachings, it's to help sentient beings to understand reality. Nothing other than that. And then it's if you have a translated version of teachings, Buddha's kind of a teaching, way of teaching is very unique. In different, sometimes it's through some instance he taught these teachings. Sometimes the people asking some questions, so he giving clear, complete answers, and giving kind of a proper teaching. So in some traditions, they don't have the Buddhist teaching, including these much debating traditions and the epistemology kind of these teachings. So they have a more rely on the cultivating and analyzing. Oh, no, the only sutra, only not highly developed about shastras, more about to rely on the sutra itself. But in Buddhist teachings in Tibet, we are there are one of these tradition, even one sutra teachings. There are many kind of explanations about made by followers of the Buddhist kind of practitioners, masters. So you can compare and study. So it's said in obvious things, the teachings shouldn't be kind of against any obvious situation. As we said, if scientific find something valid, we Buddhists not against it. Because in the Buddhist basic principles, it said, if it is obviously appeared to you, the teaching shouldn't against this obvious kind of situation. And also in other ways, if you say, oh, I will see things, appearance, but I don't know the nature of things. So for those hidden nature, we shouldn't against reason. We should read the reason. So there is a kind of a because of this and that. So what is the ultimate? So of course this is basic. But if you this in this way, we say logics, math. These are nothing. These are we accept all these with nothing to against these. So. It's second. And third, it said in Buddhist philosophy and the gradual understanding these, or these, there's nothing really real kind of a conflict or against each other in Buddhist theories. There are different higher or lower understanding, that is true, but that's just the same how deep clarification or as we said, the true obscurations, emotional obscurations, and the consciousness or cognitive obscurations, how kind of affect individual differently. So if we more cultivate or more complete, then you will see there's nothing internal kind of conflict with these teachings. So the so as we this is what I said, Buddha's the kind of sutras taught things are impermanent. For example. There is a story said, Arhat, which is already have a some compared to normal human beings, they are very, very highly enlightened people. But compared to Buddha or Bodhisattvas, they still have a some kind of work to be done. In that level, the Arhat seeing one bowl of water full of they said 100 billions of sentient beings inside of this water. Then he dared to drink. If I drink this, there were kind of sentient beings. And then Buddha said, you shouldn't, as a human form, you shouldn't use a clear voice or kind of super ability, capabilities to kind of identify or this is a right or wrong to do things. You as you love, you accept as a human level, human kind of eye organ can see things. Then, if you human eyes cannot see it, then it's not your kind of a responsibility. So although or even say although said that because, but BQ's one precept is you have to use filter in dark days or even daytime. Some you pay attention to, you still find some sentient beings in the water. But if you don't pay attention to, then you will ignore it. So in order to more completely not harming others, so you should use filter to get waters and the cook boil waters. Before boil, you should filter the water. Those kind of said. In ancient time, I think not much this technology or facility to study, then what one bowl of water, how much sentient beings, this is just what Buddha said, so we accept. But otherwise, we don't have this naked eye to see it. But now we can see many things. And similarly, in past life and future lives, also in that kind of level, even although we cannot remember past and the future lives, but based on the kind of spring weekend kind of Buddha, he has their own kind of higher level of understanding. So we, as a follower of Buddhism, so it said, there are more possibility, or I trust the Buddha because of this. So I think there could be have a life after life, and then these previous life. And also, even one can say, if you can say this life is real, then why not possibility? There is no future and kind of past life existence. It's already proved by this life in this kind of way. Or and also small level of material. These are we don't have those very systematic electrons and all particles. These individual different very subtle name, but roughly they are also very various of name identify things in Buddhist literatures. Different kind of using the dust and then the category of different dust to say how small is that and does it divide how much and that we're actually quite subtle, but compared to modern science, I think it's still there is a gap. It's already, we are talking about, I think it's the same, but then it's more rough in Buddhist category and these, you know, the, so these modern science can help Buddhists to understand more about what is said in sutra. These are more you can identify with the modern findings, science and technology. So of course, this is a in the Buddhism, it said it's the whole purpose of Buddha's teaching is to reach enlightenment, not to enjoy life in this samsara world or continue to have a better life in this life or next life. Said the cause and the effect, cause and the condition or causality. Teaching is one major teaching from action or karma and with the cause and the condition. And then there's a result or fruition. And then samsara, as we said, three realms and the six class. So these kind of existence of a variety of sentient beings. And that's why we should cultivate the renunciation, bodhicitta, and this. So, as we said, so if we talking about, firstly, if we talking about this, the cosmologies, math, and also chemistry and physics, these levels, and how this is subtle is, how the vast is, for example, these consider as a not ultimate teaching, relative teachings. And then compared to these, what is material, kind of vast and deep, this understanding, and then we more talking about causality, causing the conditions, and then the samsara. These are beyond of samsara. For example, the cultivation of bodhicitta. These are more important. So it says that in the relative world, causality, causal and the resultant. These teachings are ultimate. And the rest, as we said, for all different classes, it's relative. This is a one level for teaching in first turning wheel of Dharma. And then second turning wheel of Dharma, it said, all these teachings about the cause and the conditions and the samsara and all these are not ultimate teaching, including the renunciation and bodhicitta teachings are also, bodhicitta teaching is very difficult because there is a relative and ultimate two levels. But if you say relative level of bodhicitta, it's also included in relative teachings, not ultimate teachings. So they are not completely say this is invalid or something, but it said it's a relative conceptual and also phenomenal level of teachings. And then in third, third turning wheel of Dharma, if we are talking about it's luminosities and Buddha natures, and these are ultimate teachings. Even if you're talking about these emptiness, shunyata, these teachings are relative teachings. So if you say no self and emptiness, with these teachings still considered as relative teachings. Of course, from completely going to be go beyond of phenomenon, it's a transcendental wisdom point. There is a automatic and ultimate teaching aspect of teaching. But if you compare it to the more profound teachings of appearance, and then these based on the understanding of shunyata or emptiness, then it's more kind of complete. It's more ultimate, and it's ultimate teachings in the second turning wheel of Dharma is emptiness. It's ultimate teaching, but not complete teaching. Means they're not talking about the luminous nature of mind and the Buddha nature, these. So for that is saying third turning wheel of Dharma is more kind of complete teachings. And then from Vajrayana teachings, level of teaching, they're also ultimate and the relative kind of two meanings. And of course, this is a more profound, very profound is concept, but also the easily misunderstood kind of concept. It's a said pure, impure perceptions or that understanding. Because Vajrayana teaching is a resultant teaching level of teachings, not a causal level of teachings. So they are directly pinpointing the ultimate truth. So rest is kind of relative. So in that meaning, it's saying second turning wheel of Dharma and third turning wheel of Dharma have to be kind of a union or kind of an inseparable kind of teaching of emptiness and appearance in very clear and pinpoint in the kind of instructions are the Vajrayana teachings. So that is only if you separate the emptiness and then or appearance, talking about second emptiness, third appearance in that kind of separate level, then it's still relative. Only union of appearance and emptiness in kind of profundities, then it's ultimate teachings. So when we say ultimate teachings and relative teachings, there are various of level of understanding. So that's what I want to share in first beginning of our wisdom up chapter teachings. So I think I will roughly give us give some kind of overall pictures about 9 not over all of this, but general already said. But now we are in a stanza and said, all these branches of the doctrine, the enlightened sage expounded for the sake of wisdom. Therefore, the must cultivate this wisdom, who wish to have an end of suffering. So these are, and relative and ultimate, these two truths are declared to be. The ultimate is not within the reach of intellect. For intellect is said to be the relative. In light of this, within the world, two kinds of people are observed. Those with yogic insight and the common run of people. In the regard, the view of ordinary folk are undermined by yogis who themselves are in the world. And within those ranks of a lower, the degree of in degrees of insight are confuted by the higher by means of the example that the yogis and the worldly both accept, and therefore, and for the sake of the result, and analyze is left aside. So, as we already said, the two truths, and then from this only we are two truths. We already give overall picture of the two truths, but in this particular text, we are talking about the second kind of turning wheel of Dharma. Only that part. So for that, it's said non-expressible. That is not within reach of intellect. It's ultimate. Intellect is relative. And also there are varieties of tames like arhat. There are four levels of arhat and the bodhisattva. 10 levels of a bodhisattva. And then Buddhahood. So one on the more profound understandings, there are kind of, there is a different gap or there is a differences between of those. And then also with the yogi or ordinary perceptions, as we said before, there is a differences. Ordinary person means some people who with relative reasons, relative kind of a truth, these are ordinary. Another ordinary is the not knowing the relative truth. Misconceptions are leading them, and also superstitions are leading their mind, but they are not saying they are bad people. They are saying they're confused people. Then we consider those as ordinary, kind of, there are two levels of ordinary mind. Maybe there are many, but it's a general, you can say those two. And then, of course, the yogi also not one, but as we said, there's many levels of capability. And for some, maybe this person in this way, this field, he's kind of a more clever and understanding, but for the more subtlety of the other things, they are not knowing for these. So each time and environment or the mind confusing in different ways. So So, but for some, of course, generally yogic, they have understanding parents as not their nature. Their parents, things are not as at parents from yogic point because they understand nature. But for normal people, things are what is the concept, what is the form, and what is the shape and color and the functions. These are their understanding. So, but when a yogi won't argue with ordinary beings because they understand, that is one aspect of this form. So not need to say, but if you wanted to deepen in your understanding, then of course there are a lot of to say, but if you, it wasn't like that, then it's everybody agree on that perceptual, the sensory or six mind level, even in the gross level of understanding is there. So there's nothing, but they are not talking about the ultimate result or ultimate nature of that is not their common interest to share with those. So with Dharma teaching, it said, one capable teacher have to know the student, the mental disposition, how capable they understand, then they say the system of that part of the teaching. It's not about a teacher who knows something, then they say everything, or nor students heard or wanted to know it has some part, they just directly wanted to grab that answer or something, but have to be the best. The teacher have the capability to directly kind of reading the mind of others. Of course, this is a kind of a higher requirement. And the other second is you based on question answer and the kind of ordinary, the kind of their appearance and the characters, then to accordingly giving teachings. Even some teacher in ancient 11th century, Atisha, he said you should at least be capable to divinations and then to find out some support or help to maybe you feel good. Each time you have a more divination kind of, there's a training for divination. If you are successful, then you, some degree you can rely on that to figure out what to teach. It said. So anyway. Today maybe it's, I think you can read. And also maybe I will recommend to you another book, Shantideva's book, and explained by Sakya tradition called the Sunan Simo. Its book is, I haven't fully read it, but it seems good. So the Tzu said, if you have time, you can read this also too, but generally the Kambo Kanghwar, his commentary are our major kind of in our tradition, we follow his kind of explanation generally. But this, I think, is also a very good one. I have bought from Amazon. but it's these are very simple words, not many explanations as like Kambo Kanghwar's for them. Because of his explanation. So, but it's also very good, very famous. The Tsemo is one of Sakya patriarchal teachers. I think so there's a Sakya five patriarch, the five great master in early founding father or something, these kind of a tradition. it's a quite knowledgeable people, those, or like Sakya Banjuda and Drapa Jansen and Sonan Semo and Papa, which is a teacher of Kublai Khan, and his uncle, Sakya Banjuda Pandita, he also teacher of one Mongolian king, which is the grandson of Genghis Khan. Of course, he's before he become his teacher, already very, very famous in Tibet. He's have a very deep relationship with the Mongolian people in 13th century, 14th century, 15th century, even kind of early 16th centuries. He's the Sakya tradition has eight teacher for Mongolian emperors. Their lineage said, some are called the teacher of nations, these titles given. Some are given the teacher of the emperors, the not only country and also the king, or you can say emperor. So in Sakya tradition, following the systematic Nalanda traditions, and also very famous for theoretical studies. Of course, so many people are very good practitioner, profound, but Gelu and Sakya also famous for pedagogical these teachings, very famous, including epistemology. And our Nyingma tradition, our Kagyu tradition, are famous for cultivation. Although maybe not the individual like us, we are also these follower of those both Pandita tradition and the yogic traditions. But how much we can do that, rely on ourselves. Maybe we will stop here today, Shen, first, and to dedicate, maybe you don't have the English version of the dedication. I will find one, and then you already very familiar with those words. I will read with you. Dedication prayers. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shamada Bhadra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a spring by all the victorious ones throughout three times, all the fundamental virtues I have, I fully dedicate to practicing this line. By this merit, may all attain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. From the ocean of existence, may all beings be free. By this merit, virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom and attain the two sacred kayas that rises from merit and wisdom. Thank you very much.